guys.
Thank you.
Hello.
The Bible says there's no other name on this earth by which man or women could be saved but Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Jesus Christ is the most powerful name ever, not only here on earth but through the whole universe, because he's the creator. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. All hail the power of Jesus' name.
Thank you.
One of the failings, I believe, of the evangelical church in the last century has been to let go of the process of discipleship. We need to disciple. We need to help people grow into the maturity of Christ. That is not a superficial thing. That is meant to be growth from the inside out. So that on his journey, and we're all on the journey, we give the Spirit of God and the Word of God the chance to change us, real change, lasting change from the inside out. The question is, will we give permission to the potter to mold us, to form us, to change us, to get our wills aligned with his? Amen? Amen.
Thank you.
You may be seated. Good singing. Just allow me a moment to get through. Let me do a parking lot check. Can you hear me out there? Okay. That's the amen. So that's the amen. I want to do a responsive reading today. I'm going to brace yourself. This is not a popular reading. This isn't working for some reason. Okay. And the reason why I chose this today is that we have no problem with understanding that God is a God of grace, and that's the right thing to hear about God, that the gospel is all about grace, and that's the right thing to hear. But we have to remember that God is holy also. And what's been happening, I think, too much in the American church is that we forget the holiness of God, that God still hates sin. He still hates sin. And so we don't talk about that too much. You know, when the scripture calls for repentance and faith, it's a serious thing because God hates sin. The scripture says that sin is a stench in God's nose. And it doesn't matter what kind of sin. You know what sin is talked about most in the old, in the Bible? I can't hear you. I'm sorry. Well, what's talked about most is, no, pride. Well, pride's the root of all sin, right? Pride's talked about most, and in regards to pride, it's unfaithfulness. Because anytime we lose faith in God, it shows unfaithfulness on our part, right? For instance, if we're going through deep waters, we don't think God can handle it. And we take the situation back, right? That's a form of unbelief. God wants us to trust him and trust him completely. So would you read this with me? This is an abbreviated list, if I could put it that way, but it covers a multitude of sins that God doesn't like. Emily, you're going to have to help me here because this is not working. Ready? Here we go. There are six things the Lord hates, seven that are detestable to him. What's the word there? Detestable. Haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked schemes, feet that are quick rush into evil, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who stirs up conflict in the community. Wow. You know, community could be the family, right? It could be the church. It could be our general community. I wonder if we sent this to the news organizations, what they would say. Did you ever think about that? What would they say? What would the rioters say if they cared? If they cared. God hates sin. Now we can't dance around that. He hates sin. That's why the gift of repentance and confession is so important for everybody. Because none of us are perfect, number one. Remember that this was written to Israel, God's own people. It still applies to us today. As we go into prayer, let me just ask that we can share some of our concerns about our country, especially the rioting, share our concerns that we are... how can I say it? Our 9/11 responses, 19 years since 9/11, right? And we mess it up, right? The memorial services that were held, how quickly we forget. How quickly we forget. That showed us our vulnerability that we didn't think we had, that the oceans would protect us. There's been a lot that happened over the 20 years, and 2020 has been a crazy, crazy time for a lot of people. So you see what's going on in the cities. I don't want to forget 9/11. We should never forget that we are vulnerable to evil. And that includes us personally. We are vulnerable to evil. So would you join me in prayer, please? Father, as we gather together today, as we come before you, we just ask forgiveness for taking so much for granted. Forgiveness for sometimes not taking sin seriously. As a country, Father, I pray that you would bring revival to your churches and a spiritual awakening to this country, Father. Jesus is really our only hope. Father, we pray in particular for those family members who have lost people in the terrorist attack, that attack of evil, back on September 11th, 19 years ago. The ripple effects are still being felt, Father. And we pray for all the loss that happened that day. We pray for our cities, Father. Many cities are in chaos. It seems like rioters can control things, and then when churches send prayer groups in, they're told they can't meet. Father, something's wrong with this picture. I pray, Father, that the rioting would stop, take away the evil influences that are flaming this incredible fire that's going on in the cities. And Father, we know it's a matter of time before it bleeds into the suburbs. And so, Father, we pray against it. We just ask that you restore this country. And Father, I ask that this country would begin to look to you for their hope, look to you for their rescue, look to you to bring peace back. You are the sovereign King. And so, Father, we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And so, as we look and continue to preach through Acts today, if you have your Bibles, you're welcome to follow along. Acts chapter 4, starting at verse 32. By the way, today's Grandparents' Day. So anybody's a grandparent? Have a great day. It is your day today. Funny thing, I was talking with Janine before. I was talking about high blood pressure. And when Caleb was born, my grandson, my blood pressure went down. So I went to the doctor for my annual visit, you know, to checks me out, tells me I'm too fat. But when he took my blood pressure, he says, "You were never this low. What happened?" And I said, "Well, I had a grandson." He says, "Have more." So we had a granddaughter, too. So, we live in interesting times. One of the things that has always puzzled me, I hope I don't insult anybody here this morning, okay? One of the things that has always puzzled me is that women will put botulism into their face to prevent wrinkles, right? Isn't that what it's used for? Botox is the same thing. Botox, all right? It's Clostridium botulinum, by the way, which is the most poisonous substance known to man. Just listen to the disclaimers. They put it, but it could travel. And if it starts to cause shortness of breath, because Clostridium is a muscle paralyzer, which effectively stops you from breathing and stops the heart, but we got to look good. We got to look good, right? I mean, this is the way it's portrayed. Now, I'm not saying everybody who does it is going to have a problem. Please don't misunderstand. I just don't understand why you would do it in the first place and take that risk. We are so bent in this country on image. If we look good, then you must be good, okay? Image is everything, and we've forgotten about character. We have forfeited character at the expense of image. And this creeps into the church, whether we like it or not, it creeps into the church. And as it creeps into the church, it can come in a number of ways, right? We have to look better than somebody else, or we get jealous of somebody else, or someone else is making us look bad. Although we'll never publicly admit that, we always look for the person who makes us look good, right? So this whole thing of image, I mean, it's really dangerous. The root of it is pride. Isn't that correct? All right? Next week I'll pick on the men for something. Give them equal time. But that'll be easy, Vince says. Can we agree that the root of all sin is pride? All right. Could we also agree that pride causes us to make some foolish decisions? All right. Has anybody here never made a foolish decision? All right. Pride tells us we need to look better on the outside so that we can mask the bad stuff on the inside. I mean, you can have as many plastic surgeries as you want, as many Botox injections as you want. Guess what? You're still going to be 70 years old, right? Your heart is 70 years old. Your lungs are 70 years old. You understand what I'm saying? On the inside, you're getting older, but on the outside, you sure look good. Pride prefers superficial impression rather than developing godly character. The worst aspect of all pride is that we think we know better than God, so we lie to God and we lie to ourselves, right? It was amazing to me when we were in the middle of the pandemic, I asked some of our ladies one night, they were in a discussion about going out or being seen without makeup, you know, during the COVID thing. And I'm saying, how many of you would go out without makeup? Nobody raised their hand that night. Nobody. Thank you for being honest. Thanks. I go out without makeup, by the way, okay? But yeah, you know, it was to the point where, hey, I can't let anybody see me without makeup. Okay. Why? Because they might see the blemishes, right? They might see that you're human. They might see some wrinkles. I mean, you understand. And listen, this is not a commercial to say don't wear makeup. Please continue. But I'm trying to make a point that image seems to be everything that's the root of pride. Dr. Luke in this passage gives us a stark comparison. He talks about people who are walking with Christ, but their talk matches their walk. In other words, they say they love Christ, and you know words can be cheap, okay? They say they love Christ, but their lives show it. And one of the ways their lives show it is the absence of pride. Okay? You with me? He's going to compare it to a couple who wanted to make a good image for themselves, who were followers of Christ, by the way, wanted to make a good image of themselves, and because of pride brought on severe trouble for themselves. So let's go through this, if you don't mind. Whoops. All the believers were one mind, of one mind and heart. No one claimed any of their No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. Okay, you stay there for a second, all right? I want you to notice there was a good spirit of unity in the early church. This is the very beginnings of the church. A good spirit of unity. They were all of one mind, all focused on the gospel and loving one another. And they recognized that whatever they had came from God. God owns it all anyhow. So they were able to take some of those possessions and sell them. They didn't sell, you know, their houses or anything like that, usually, but they were able to sell to help out people who needed. Okay? This is what the early church did. By the way, this is what the church did up until the mid-19th century. Mid-20th century. And then you know what happened? The government took over. Next verse, please. With great power, that it literally translated, that says with mega dunamis. Dunamis is the word we get dynamite from, okay? Mega power. The apostles continue to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There were powerful things happening, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them. Keep going, okay? There were no needy persons among them. Isn't that great? This is how they showed love for God. This is how they showed love for one another. This is why we're going to show love through Operation Christmas Box, Christmas Child. This is why we're going to show love to the kids in the high school. This is why we're going to show love to the community when we deliver the groceries, to show that love is not just a word, it's action. It's action, all right? So next verse, please. And they put the money at the apostles' feet. They trusted the apostles to do what they needed to do, and it was distributed to anyone who had need. That's why we have a benevolence fund, okay? To distribute it to people where we can verify the need and help them out. So there was no contest here. I want you to realize that they did this out of a voluntary, compassionate heart, and they were willing to sacrifice from time to time for the sake of others. It was done voluntarily. It wasn't done because anybody said they had to do it. It wasn't done because anybody said you need to look good. It wasn't done for any of those reasons. It was just done because they loved Jesus, period. And they didn't care who knew about it or if anybody knew about it. Next verse, please. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas. We'll see more of Barnabas later on, which means son of encouragement. His name is recorded here for some reason, but he sold a field he owned and brought the money to the feet of the apostles. Now, Joseph is singled out here probably as an encouragement to others to say, hey, you know, look what this man did because he loved Jesus. Because he loved Jesus. Well, Joseph seems like set the bar in the congregation. And there were two people in the congregation who didn't want to be outdone. That's pride. That's pride. Next verse, please. Let's go into chapter 5 now. Now a man named Ananias, together with his wife Sapphira, also sold a piece of property. Okay? With his wife's full knowledge, he kept back part of the money for himself and brought the rest and put it at the apostles' feet. All right, let's keep going. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has filled your heart that you lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you've received for the land? Now, before you go to jumping any conclusions here, you need to have this in the right context. Comes out in a few more verses with Sapphira. But what Ananias and Sapphira did was to say, look, we're going to sell this piece of property. We're going to give all the money to the apostles because they wanted to be better than Barnabas. You know, we got X amount of dollars, whatever that is, or dinero, whatever they use at the time. And we're going to give it all to the apostles. Instead, they conspired. They lied to the apostles. They lied to God and kept a portion for themselves. You say, well, okay, maybe they changed their mind, but look how this goes forward. Again, next verse, please. Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not just lied to human beings, but to God. In other words, you could have sold it and kept all the money. Just be honest about it. Just be honest about it. All right? Or you can have sold it and told us you're going to give us a quarter and you could have kept three quarters, however it was. But instead, in pride, they wanted to maintain this image. This is why image is dangerous. This is why image is so superficial, because you can look real good on the outside, but on the inside, something's going on, right? Look at what happens. When Ananias heard this, he fell down and died. Whoa! And great fear or reverence seized all who heard what had happened. Bear in mind, this was the early church, and God wanted to impress to the early church how seriously he takes sin. That would have made an impression on me. How about you? To see something like this. And God was just in doing this. He was just in doing this. It says, then some young man came in, came forward and wrapped up his body and carried him out and buried him. Next verse, please. About 3 hours later, his wife Sapphira came in, not knowing what had happened. Peter asked, tell me, is this the price you and your and Ananias got for your land? In other words, was this the total you got for the land? Well, you know what she said, right? Go ahead. Yes, this is the price. Well, she lied. She lied. Go ahead. Peter said, how could you conspire to test the Holy Spirit of the Lord? Listen, the feet of the men who buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out also. Wow. Next verse, please. At the moment she fell down at his feet and died, the young man came in, and finding her dead, they carried out her body and buried her beside her husband. And the last verse, great fear. Is that word mega again? Great fear seized the whole church and all who heard about these events. You see, Ananias decided to sell their property, but not for the love of the Lord, but to make themselves look better. And not only to make themselves look better, but they went back on their word. They promised everything to the apostles to be used by the church, and they held back and lied. They were more interested in looking good than they were in character. You realize they had an opportunity to repent and confess. When they were questioned, they had the opportunity to say, yeah, you're right, we blew it, we sinned, and the outcome could have been different. But they chose not to. They continued to lie even when they were confronted, and God sent judgment. And great fear spread over the older church. You know, I remember on 9/11 when we were attacked, the two towers going down in Manhattan. I remember the Pentagon getting hit and the flight that came down over Pennsylvania. And when that first plane crashed into the tower, there was no question that this was a terrorist attack in my mind, because commercial pilots are trained to put a plane down to do the least amount of damage. So I knew what was going on. I think every one of us thought we were going to war, right? People started showing up at schools, picking up their kids. We didn't know what was happening, who attacked us. We were going to go to war. People were scared. They were fearful. How much more should we be fearful in a good sense of the Almighty Holy God? That type of fear is not a cowering fear. That type of fear is a reverential fear that says God is God, and he takes sin seriously. So should I. So should we. And so, I want to suggest to you this morning, when we don't take sin seriously, It is a problem of pride. Sin, pride causes to sin, and pride will continue to inform our sin nature to cover it up, to make excuses. You know how that goes, right? Johnny, take out the garbage. That doesn't get done. Johnny, I told you 15 minutes ago, take out the garbage. I didn't hear you. Oh, really? And yet, if you talked about Johnny from the other side of the room to somebody else, they automatically hear. I mean, you've seen that. We're the same way with God sometimes. Will we let the Holy Spirit examine our hearts to help rid us of any pride that will cause us to settle for just looking good on the outside? Boy, that's a lifelong project as God works in and through us. But we have to be willing to yield to the Word and to the Spirit and to let Him change us from the inside out. Are we willing to let the Word of God and the Holy Spirit change us and start producing godly character so that we can work towards what I call congruent lives, so that who you are in public is the same as who you are in private, that your walk matches your talk? I want to read something as we close out this passage. These were quotes I found to show you how dangerous pride could be. This is from Warren Wiersbe. He says, in pride, Moses lost his temper and was kept out of the promised land. You remember that? He lost because he lost his temper. Pride kept Joshua from seeking God's will at Ai, and he lost the battle. King Nebuchadnezzar's pride turned him into an animal. And Peter's pride led to his denial of Christ. And I found this one. Lord, this is from Peter Marshall, not the game show host, but a pastor. Says, Lord, where we are wrong, make us willing to change. And where we are right, make us easy to live with. So just a couple of things to get the wheels turning and to say, God is not interested in image. He's interested in the heart. God doesn't care what you look like. God obviously doesn't care whether we can speak or not. We saw that with Moses and some others, right? But he cares about the heart. God doesn't care if you have a lot of money or no money. He cares about the heart. God doesn't care what your skin color is or what your background is. He cares about the heart without any pretense. This is why I, you know, as a pastor, I want to give people liberty to be who they are, but be honest with God. He knows already, right? I mean, he knows. There's no sense in hiding it. For Adam and Eve to hide in the garden, that was nonsense. God knew, right? For David to hide his sin with Bathsheba, that was nonsense. God knew. And God brought him to account, didn't he? And he suffered the consequences for it. God takes sin seriously. When we get that, then we will allow God to let our walk match our talk. And we'll give him the glory. Amen? I'm going to ask Kim to come back up. And Chip. And, of course, Sharon. As we come back up, I decided to end this with a hymn. I have some favorite hymns. And unfortunately, sometimes we neglect the hymns at the expense of some of the newer songs. And they're both good. We just need to learn how to integrate them better. Okay? Holy, holy, holy. That song, that still to this day gives me chills. I don't know about you. By the way, in Hebrew, if something is repeated three times, it means that you can't get any more than that. So in Hebrew, the word is kadosh. It's kadosh, 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 which means God is perfectly holy. There is no one holier than him. This was a song that was playing many years ago when I went to the Promise Keepers clergy meeting down in Atlanta, Georgia. at the Dome Stadium, whatever that was back then. And as we're coming in the stadium, the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra is playing this. This is an incredible scene. 40,000 men start filling into the stadium. We sang this for 35 minutes. And nobody wanted to stop. We knew we were in the presence of a holy God. Would you stand, please? We have a whole world out there who needs to know Jesus, who needs to know a God who is holy, but so loving he sent his son to die for us on the cross of Calvary. And the fact of the matter, if we were the only one on the face of this earth, he would have sent his son because he loved us. Let's pray. Father, would you send us away? Empowered by your Holy Spirit, help us to give us the desire to continue to change from the inside out through your word and through your Holy Spirit. Father, where there's sin in our life, help us to confess it, repent of it. Where there's repetitive sin, Father, help us to be honest with you about it. And keep confessing and repenting and let you change us from the inside out. And Father, help us to be honest with you and with ourselves. I pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said?
Amen.
Got the amen from the parking lot, too. God bless you. You're dismissed.